save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. I think they need to add to the room for some depth. You know, the starters could be pretty good with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson if you slide Cooper DeJean there. You still have Reed Blankenship. I know John has said before Sidney Brown looks way ahead of schedule with regard to recovering from that ACL tear. So I think the position could be good as far as the starters, but you have no depth.
Let's get to our friend Bill Colarulo waiting in the green room. We have an early start. Bill Colarulo joining us now. Let me get bring Bill up. Bill, welcome to the show, man. How you doing today?
What's going on, boys? How are you?
Good, man.
Bill, good to see you.
Good to see you as always, Johnny.
You excited? On field OTA, space three. So the Eagles started Monday, but we were not allowed in there as reporters. We will be Wednesday. And we're going to get to see the whole practice, which is a little bit of a surprise to us. And thank you, Eagles. I'll say that publicly. We'll get to see some of the where the default settings, where the Eagles want to start at some of these competition positions, so to speak. What's the most interesting part of that for you from a competition standpoint?
I'm excited to see the defense, especially the secondary. There's just so many bodies back there. And I heard you before I came in talking about does James Bradbury show up or not. But even without him, what, 13 other guys may be in this there, even if JB doesn't show up. So I'm excited to see how they're going to use all of these pieces. I'm not expecting them to just anoint Quinyon Mitchell day one. I think they're going to make him earn that spot. So I think Kelee Ringo probably starts outside with Darius Slay. And I think Keeley's got a shot at winning it. We talked about this before, John. I'm excited to see what Quinyon Mitchell can do, but I'm not ruling out Kelee Ringo. I like the way he came on at the end of last season, but that's the position I'm most excited to see, the secondary battle. And OTAs, we'll learn a little bit, but I'm real excited this year for training camp preseason because there's just so many positions where people are battling. We don't know who's going to be the starters outside. We're not sure how they're going to use Cooper DeJean. Who's your starting defensive ends? So, obviously, linebacker, another question. So, there's still a lot of question marks where it should be fun. And then, even on offense, third wide receiver, right guard, although I think Tyler Steen's got the inside track. So, it should be fun as we head up to week one, game one in Brazil to see some of these position battles.
Yeah, it should be pretty good stuff. You pointed out a couple of the good ones there. No Devontae Parker now, so you can take him out of the wide receiver three mix. Bill, what do you think? I want to go to the defensive line. You started on the defense. Me and Johnny Mack kicked this around a little bit yesterday. We're not going to learn everything about it, obviously, from OTAs, but we're putting a lot on Bryce Huff, which he's almost become an afterthought, but he's got a big role to fill, big shoes to fill. Hassan Reddick was a highly productive pass rusher on this Eagles team. Are you confident Bryce can fill that role? And if he can't, it's on Nolan Smith to step up and pick up that dead weight, yes?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I'm not confident that he can do it. I don't know how anyone could be confident. We've never seen him play more than half the snaps. Even Vic Fangio said it when he spoke, saying, yeah, he was kind of a part-time player in New York. So we're all hopeful he can take that leap, but there's no guarantee. But I think you're right. The Eagles are hoping that they can replace the production from Hassan Reddick with Bryce Huff and or Nolan Smith, maybe the combination. But whatever they do, they need more depth there. You saw it last year. Once you weren't getting anything from Derek Barnett, and then they made the decision to cut him, which I was okay with when they did it. I know some fans saw him in Houston and thought they never should have cut him. He stunk here. But once you did that, you had no depth. You weren't getting anything from Nolan Smith last year. You cut Derek Barnett. Josh Sweat and Hassan Reddick had to play over 800 snaps apiece. Now, Reddick had done that before. He had played substantial snaps before, but Sweat had never played that much in the past, and you saw him hit a wall. So Bryce Huff needs to play more than half the snaps, but even if he does that, you still need Nolan Smith to step up. because as much as I love Brandon Graham, he'll play probably 25-30% of the snaps if we're lucky. He'll give it his all when he's in there, but that's pretty much it. And then you have Josh Sweat in a contract year now, so I'm sure he'll be giving it his all. And then we all thought Zach Bond was going to rotate in on the
edge.
That's
an interesting one.
But then Fangio says inside linebacker. That threw me off.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned when I asked you at first. I mean, that to me, and you brought up the defense first, Bill. Zach Bond, where he's going to line up, because Howie compared him to Andrew Van Ginkle, how Vic used him in Miami, and that was an edge guy. And then Vic says, oh, we think he can play all linebacker, so that's going to be interesting. And then Isaiah Rodgers, the great Isaiah Rodgers, where's he going to start? Is he going to be in the slot? Is he going to be outside? So those two players are interesting.
Yeah, so you know I do some stuff with Andrew DiCecco a lot now on the Fanatic.
Yeah, my guy, man.
Andrew's been saying, to his credit, even before they drafted Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, Andrew was saying he didn't think Isaiah Rodgers was a lock to even make this team.
No.
So
yeah,
now
we've had that discussion many times.
Yeah. So now that they've added those two pieces, he still feels that Isaiah Rodgers doesn't make the team. Now, I was intrigued. I was excited. I mean, candidly, none of us watched a lot of him because he didn't play that much in Indianapolis. But when he did, he looked really good in the times that he got on the field. It was all outside. I know we've had this conversation before, you and I, John, about he projects more as maybe a slot corner with his size and his position.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know what the plan is with him. And that's another one that I'm excited to see come this OTAs. Where do they have him working in all through training camp? Because it's going to be hard for him, I think, to win the outside corner role. But if he can transition to the slot corner, obviously they brought back Avante Maddox, but can you rely on a guy who's played 12 games in two seasons? You got Zach McPherson. We don't know how he's going to bounce back from the Achilles tear. He's not guaranteed to make this team. So I don't know, man. I mean, there's exciting storylines as we head into OTAs and the offseason.
Yeah, that brings me to Cooper. Me and Johnny Mack did our early 53-man projection. Poor Zach McPherson. He was nowhere to be found on our 53-man projection. But what do you make of the safety position, Bill? I know people talk about maybe they'll move Cooper DeJean, play some safety. They do have some good bodies there. I like Sidney Brown, Reed Blankenship, obviously C.J. Gardner-Johnson they brought in. But I think they're a little shallow there. I mean, if we're talking about big nickel, three safeties on the field, are they going to bring another body in? Johnny Mack and I kicked around some Justin Simmons signing, you know, potentially going that route. What do you think of the safety position, and do you think they need to add to that room?
I think they need to add to the room for some depth. You know, the starters could be pretty good with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson if you slide Cooper DeJean there. You still have Reed Blankenship. I know John has said before Sidney Brown looks way ahead of schedule with regard to recovering from that ACL tear. So I think the position could be good as far as the starters, but you have no depth. And we've seen Chauncey Gardner-Johnson played two games last season, got hurt 2 years ago when he was here with the Eagles. Reed Blankenship's never played a 17-game season. Sidney Brown, we don't know. He got hurt last year a couple times. So I think they need to add some depth to that room because, God forbid, one of those guys goes down. And I think Cooper DeJean slides into the safety role, but we don't know. Another storyline, he talked about how they've started him at outside and nickel. I'm just as confused as to what the plan is at the safety position behind those three guys, but I'd like to see Cooper DeJean move there. But I've been reading a lot and hearing some other analysts talk about, why would you move Cooper DeJean? You know, his whole career, he's played outside corner. He has the capability of playing outside corner. When you look at him, he just looks like, and not because of the color of his skin. I've had some people say, you know, oh, that's just good. He's a white guy. You think
poor,
he has
poor Jeff asked the question.
I think you look at his athleticism, his versatility, and his ability to kind of play downside inside the box. He just looks like he'd be a great safety.
Well, I'll say this about Cooper. I think the Eagles feel that he is smart enough, versatile enough to handle a bunch of different stuff. So I think from their perspective, year one, they want to get him on the field. And if they want to get him on the field in year one, that's probably going to have to be either at slot or big nickel or safety. And then ultimately, when Darius Slay moves on, hopefully your starting corners are Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. And I think he can handle that. All right, let's get him on the field at a different position, then go back to corner. I think that's the plan from the Eagles, the long-term plan. But we'll, you're right, we'll see how that shakes out. You know, you mentioned Brandon. We were talking about edge rushers. I was thinking about this, Bill, and I want to run this by you. I think everybody's of the mentality, this is year 15 for Brandon Graham. This is it, the farewell tour. Mr. Eagle, nobody's played more games as an Eagle. By the way, you should do that on 97.5, the Fanatic, when you're on there, Bill. I don't want to program your show, but I think this might be the most underrated Philly athlete of all time.
Who, BG?
BG. I was looking at his PFF grade since when he took off in 2012. Here's the numbers. I'm going to do this quickly. Number 2, number 19, number 6, number 10, number 2, number 5, number 7, number 15, number 10. He was injured in 2021. Number 5 coming back off the injury, and then very limited play time last year, number 15. That's it amongst all edge rushers in the NFL over his career.
Not too bad.
Yeah, he is. He, for some reason, because he doesn't have big sack numbers, people have not recognized, a lot of people, some have, Eagles certainly have, recognized how good he's been. Now, I bring up this is it for this reason. I think everybody assumes at this stage, don't get me wrong, he can't play 800 snaps, but I think everybody assumes, well, it's got to go incrementally down. Since this is it, why can't it go up?
Right.
And Brandon's going to give you everything, and you don't have to worry about next year or 2 years down the road. So maybe he plays a little bit more, and that helps you on the edge when it talks to some of that depth behind Bryce Huff and Josh Sweat.
It's possible. And all season, I used to talk to Seth Joyner when we would do our game day shows. Seth seemed to think that BG could continue to play for a couple of seasons if they used more of the NASCAR package and moved him inside to D-tackle. Seth said, look, he could play D-tackle, especially on pass downs. So he thinks he may get more snaps at that position. You could be right, but the history tells us as these guys get older, can he really go? I mean, he played 395 snaps last year. I'm expecting about the same if we're lucky. If he gives us close to 400 snaps, I'll take that, John. I think that would be fine when you still have Nolan Smith, Bryce Huff, Josh Sweat, maybe Zach Bond if he plays that Van Ginkle role that we think he's going to play. Who else do they have on the edge now besides those guys?
Those are your top four, and then you go down to the Patrick Johnsons of the world, the Teron Jacksons.
They maybe Jalix Hunt gets some burn this year. I'm not expecting.
Jalix Hunt is obviously, you know, but the Eagles have acknowledged he's a developmental prospect, and he's going to essentially redshirt. He's going to be on the roster, obviously. But what about, and you also like, have people, that future. The Eagles like Julian Okwara.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
Yeah. Now, I don't know at this stage how he makes the team. It could be an injury. It's going to be great because you have to carry Hunt. So you'd have to carry six edge rushers if you want to get Okwara on the team on the 53. That might be difficult to do, but he's one injury away. We know how this the attrition. So if somehow you can start him on the practice squad, maybe he gets elevated. They all signed. Also signed Terrell Lewis. Howie's talked about those futures guys a lot because their strategy was the draft was going to be not very deep on day three, and undrafted free agency was going to take a hit. So they made a real effort to study the practice squads of other teams and say, all right, can we pluck anybody from there? And they sort of serve as our big-time undrafted free agents. And Terrell Lewis is another guy. He was a third-round pick the same year out of Alabama, Xander School,
yeah.
The same year that Julian was a third-round pick. So They have some guys with some athleticism, but it's hard to count on a futures contract guy. I get that. But yeah, there's some depth, at least from a standpoint of guys with some upside.
Yeah, the position I think that they still would probably add some veteran depth to is the D-tackle room. As excited as I am to see Jalen Carter, Milton Williams, Jordan Davis all taking that leap, because Milton Williams' contract year, and I've liked what I've seen from Milton Williams.
He's been good, Milton Williams.
I'm surprised the Eagles didn't get him done. I'm surprised by that.
I was predicting he would have been the deal before Devontae, because I thought at least Devontae Smith, yes, you want to get it done sooner rather than later because the wide receiver market's going to explode, but you had him at least under control for the next 2 years. Milton Williams, this is the true last year of his deal, and if he has a good season, he's going to get paid.
Well, and that's why I'm concerned, because that kind of tells me the Eagles, because I think we all, and I'm a Milton guy, unabashed Milton guy. I think he's a good player. I think he's underrated. But the fact they didn't extend him concerns me, because that's the kind of guy they go after and say, all right, this guy's ready to break out and we're going to get him at a discount. Now, it could be from his standpoint. He might realize it and say, I'm going to bet on myself. Screw that. I'm not going to take the team discount. So you never know which side is coming from. But the Eagles' history tells us they try to identify players like that and get them done early. So I'm a little concerned on what that says about their internal thought process about Milton Williams.
I wonder if the two guys in front of him complicate it. I mean, I know they're a little bit far away, but they're probably got big contract coming for Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. Still a little bit of ways away from that, but are they going to pay a third DT that?
Well, you could have had that you get the discount. Like, you're right.
Right. Yeah.
As Bill said, this is his true free agent. If he plays well, he's going to get big money, and you won't be able to pay him because you have to pay Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis down the road, most likely.
Yeah, and I like Milton Williams. I'm with you on that. But I still think even with all those guys, you look at the depth at D-tackle, I wouldn't be shocked if they bring in a veteran before training camp to add to that room. Maybe a Calais Campbell. He's still available. He may not be a bad piece to add into that room.
Boy, Calais is he's been a good player for a long
time. Yeah, I would love a guy like that. It reminds me of the Ndamukong Suh role, where they come in, they're a good depth piece, they take a couple snaps, they take a little bit of the pressure off the starting guys, and they still have something left. I thought that was a good fit, and Calais Campbell kind of reminds me of that type of move if they were to bring a guy like that in.
They have some depth. I mean, Marlon Tupelotu, he didn't play much, but when he got in, he made a couple of plays.
I'd rather have Calais Campbell than Marlon Tupelotu.
Same. And then you have Mauro Ejomo, another year of him. But I still think maybe adding some depth there. And we know Howie Roseman's not done. I've talked about this before. You look at some of Howie's best moves, they've come in August, man. I mean, he goes out. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson a couple years ago, that was an August move. James Bradbury, he signed in June, which I know now people aren't happy, but he was great in 2022.
Yeah, he was. He was great.
Ronald Darby that year, they got him late. You know, so Howie finds some pieces late. So
yeah, the year before Bradbury. Sorry to cut you off, Bill. The year before Bradbury, Steven Nelson. I still remember doing the August hit with Johnny Mack right when they signed Steven Nelson, right before
two days before training camp, and he took the first rep at it. We talked all offseason about what are they going to do at cornerback two. Is Zach McPherson going to be a starter as a fourth round pick? And bang, 2 days before training camp, took the first rep at corner and never left the field.
Yeah.
He was a guy who didn't get enough credit here. Good player, not a great player, obviously, but kind of saved him from that standpoint. With Calais, he's 37, but boy, he can still play.
And you're not going to be asking a lot of him.
37, no. That's old.
Yeah.
Xander.
Yeah. Well, like, old in NFL terms, obviously. Yeah, very young for me.
Okay. Yeah, young for us, John.
Yeah, I mean, is he – man, that's a player that can help you. And that's a guy who probably doesn't want to pay for the veteran minimum, no question. So do you really want to go into that 5 $5 million range with incentives. Plus, you're taking away reps from younger players. I don't know. That's an interesting conversation. But Calais Campbell and Brandon Graham on the same defensive line, that's some experience right there.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
They just have to replace, and this is a good thing because the defense was so bad last year, but I went and looked at all of the pieces that aren't going to be here that played significant snaps last year. They got to find like 6,000 snaps when you add up all of the pieces.
Even Fletcher Cox, Bill.
Fletcher Cox played close to 700 snaps last year. Now, Zach Cunningham's a name. Maybe they still sign him. I know he's out there. Howie made a point to talk about him at his end-of-year press conference, but he played over 700 snaps. Kevin Byard over 700 snaps. Nick Morrow over 800. Hassan Reddick, 860. James Bradbury over 1,000 snaps last year. So I know that's good because those guys didn't all play well, but a lot of change from last season.
Yeah, yeah. You're counting on a lot of guys. Real quick, Bill, as we're on the defense, now we're talking about defensive backs. The one lock on defense on the whole roster is Darius Slay, cornerback one, Darius Slay. Any concern he takes a step back this year? He's getting old. And I remember a couple games last year, fans were all over him for, you know, when remember
see, the on social media, somebody was in the Eagles locker room giving the finger to Slay's line. Come on.
That was dumb. But talking about the player and the play on the field, any concern that, hey, our best player on our best cornerback might also take a step back? Now, I know you got those guys in the wings, but they're rookies. You know, any concern about that?
I think you have to be concerned. He's going to be 33 when the season starts. Yeah. And look, you talked about Brandon Graham being an underrated athlete in Philly. I think Darius Slay is a little bit underrated at times. I think he's a very good corner in this league, but gets a bad rep because I think of the fact that he doesn't stop talking and making excuses sometimes after games, which rubs fans the wrong way. But you have to be concerned. We saw it last year with James Bradbury, where in 2022, the guy was an all-pro, and then last season, he looked like he shouldn't even be on the practice squad. So it happens quick in the NFL, and especially at the cornerback position. You lose a half a step, that's a major difference in this league. So yeah. I'm hopeful Darius Slay, he's a smart enough player that even if he regresses a little bit, that he could still be effective. But, yeah, that's definitely got to be a concern. And if these young guys aren't ready to step in, if Keely Ringo's not ready, Quinyon Mitchell's not ready, and Slay takes a step back, yeah, we're in a little bit of trouble. Now, what I'm hoping happens is if the Eagles can get back to getting that pressure on the quarterback, because you saw in 22 what helped the secondary so much is you had 70 sacks. You led the NFL in sacks, and then it's no coincidence that you're also the number one pass defense. And then last year, your 70 sacks drops to 43, and you go from number one pass defense to 31st pass defense. So if they can generate more pressure with their front four, I think that could have that ripple effect throughout the defense. But, yeah, I'm a little concerned. Let me ask you this, John, because I want to hear your opinion. I had some people ask me, any chance Darius Slay gets traded if Quinyon Mitchell and Keely Ringo show, hey, we're ready to take over the outside cornerback position? Is there any scenario where they would trade Slay? I'll give you my answer real quick. I don't think they would, simply because what was the first thing Howie Roseman said to Quinyon Mitchell? Hey, I want you following Darius Slay.
Living with Slay, yeah.
I think they appreciate his veteran presence back there, but what do you think? Any scenario where they would move on?
I think people need to pump the brakes on the expectations with the young corners. I mean, it's great to have young guys with upside, but it's a process, especially I talked about the complicated nature of Vic's defense. And that's a good pull by you bringing up Howie saying, you know, he wants basically Quinyon Mitchell and Darius Slay's back pocket, you know, teach him how to be a professional. Because for all the talk about Darius, tremendous teammate, team captain, goes about it the right way when it comes to preparation, practice, things like that. He's got a very big personality, but he is a professional. He's not a six-time Pro Bowl cornerback because he just rolls the footballs out on the field. He works really hard, and you want him around to teach those guys how to be a professional, number one. But man, the expectation, Kaylee Ringo and Quinyon Mitchell as day one starters, you know, that could potentially happen from an injury standpoint. And you don't want to see it happen. There's some good to when you throw somebody in the deep end of the pool, and if they're mentally tough enough, maybe it helps them long term. But you're going to have some ugly moments if you have young guys like that on the field, especially in this defense. So, yeah, well, I think people need to be a little more patient.
That was another thing that Howie Roseman said at his end of the season press conference, talking about how they want to play some of the younger guys more. Now, not necessarily rookies, but he even mentioned...
That was great, by the way. Because he said it, and Nick came up 10 minutes later and said, I'm trying to win a game.
Yeah, they were kind of going back and forth, because Howie was like, you know, the coaches may look at the depth chart and be concerned because this guy hasn't done it, but we picked him for a reason. So, look, I think there's a balance. I don't like the fact that last year Nolan Smith didn't really play a lot to start the season, and then you're relying on him in a playoff game. Sidney Brown, they didn't really play him a lot in the beginning of the season, where I would rather see these guys, if we're going to be relying on them in November and December and hopefully January, let's get them involved early. Let's get them on the field a little bit earlier if your plan is to get them involved later. I think there's no substitute for experience.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, going back to Slay and even the pass rush. It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Because Gary Cobb brought this up yesterday, a great point about Bryce Huff. He's also playing with a great defense. You got Sauce Gardner behind him, DJ Reed. I mean, they have a great defensive line. And also factor in, they maybe had a little bit of throwaway games last year. They only won 7 ball games. How many of those sacks that Bryce Huff got, you know, came kind
killed
of
the game. Eagles. That wasn't a throwaway.
No,
he destroyed the Eagles in that game.
Now, I think it's a fair point.
The good thing I see with Bryce Huff, though, is that as good as the Jets defense was, they're another one of these defensive philosophies where they don't blitz a lot. I think they were 31st in the NFL in blitz rate. So he's used to a defense where you're trying to get there just with your front four, not bringing all types of pressure from other spots. So I think that'll help him, because we know Fangio doesn't blitz a ton either. He was 27th in blitz rate last year. But, yeah, I mean, look, we look at the defense and we need a lot of question marks to turn into exclamation points for this defense to be really good. And you look at every single time the Eagles have been to the NFC Championship game, they've had a top 8 defense in terms of points against. So I know we're all excited about the offense. They've never been to an NFC Championship game without a top 8 defense. So we need that defense to live up to all of the expectations that people have for these young guys.
Top 8 is lofty, though, Bill.
Yeah,
it is, especially coming off last season. At Bill Colarulo, make sure you follow Bill on X. When are you on today? Do we know?
Yo, how about it? I get a day off. I feel like I'm working like a dog over there. I've been on like 6 days straight, but today I got a day off. So you could see I got the golf shirt on.
Golfing got for a the day first off. I was told you had to bail by 8:40. So
I take my daughter to school.
Take your daughter to school.
Yeah, so I take her to school, and then I got a tea time later on today. I can't wait, man. Game's been in the crapper, though.
That is a good dad day right there. Dropping the kid off and then going golfing. That's dad.
Well, you know, I'm getting married June 1st, too. So,
that's coming up, Bill.
Yeah. So, I'll be here next Tuesday, but then I won't see it because I'll be on my honeymoon the week.
Where are you going?
Going to Aruba.
Nice.
Ooh, nice.
Never been there before. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking more forward to the honeymoon than the wedding, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, I believe it.
Well, congratulations. Yeah, I did not know. So congratulations on that. Aruba. You got it all, Bill Colarulo. You're going golfing today. You're living the life, my friend.
Well, golf will be fun, but the highlight of my day is talking to you two.
Bill, what are you shooting today? You breaking 80? Breaking 90? Where you at?
Bro, if I can get under 100 today, I'll be happy. It's been a while. Now, I was kidding because I said to my fiance before she left today, I said, I'm shooting low 80s today. She's like, you shoot low 80s, you can get anything you want because there's no way you're shooting low 80s today. I haven't been out. Last year I was golfing. When I was doing the power hour, I would leave and then go golf almost every day. But now I'm on the radio so much, it's been hard to make time to get to the course, man.
Well, just don't get arrested on your way to the course, like Scotty.
That's Scheffler, isn't that crazy? Yeah. If that was a, we had this debate.
You're a lawyer; you can get yourself out of it. Yeah.
We had this debate on the Fanatic. What if that would have been a football player the morning of the Super Bowl? They playing in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Depends who they are.
If Scotty Goff,
quarterback. He's the number one golfer in the world. So if that's Patrick Mahomes, he's playing in the Super Bowl.
No matter what, probably.
Yeah.
So, well, gentlemen, appreciate you having me. Always good seeing you. Hopefully I'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. There's Bill Colarulo joining the show from 97.5 The Fanatic. Doing great work for them, by the way. We miss Bill's contributions to Jacob Sports on his Philly Sports Power, but it's great to get him here.
I didn't know he was getting married.
I knew it was lingering in the wings. I wasn't sure when it was, but June 1st, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, man. That's coming up. Wow. Yeah. Oof.
Week and
May
a half
21st. Away. I had to look. Yeah, he's right there.
I am not a married man yet, but Johnny Mac, you are a married man. Any advice for Bill Colarulo?
Keep your head down and just be agreeable. Compromise. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah,
I like about it. I like it. Happy wife, happy life. I guess that's what they say. I don't know. I don't have any experience in it, but
definitely. You don't want to get down in the weeds. It's very difficult. I always used to tell Jody, man, don't accept. I was a good debater in college, and the first thing they taught you is don't accept a faulty premise. In other words, if you don't agree with somebody's premise, don't argue it. Why are you arguing it? It's really difficult to do that, especially when you're married. So yeah, keep your head down and move along. That's my best advice.
There you go. There's marriage advice from Johnny Mac. I don't know if you guys thought you were getting that on Tuesday's edition of Birds 365. There's a good one too. Lower the toilet seat. My girlfriend gives me crap.
All the time.
So good stuff there. Thanks everybody for joining in today. We got no more guests in hour number two. So Johnny Mac and I are going to get a little bit deep into the roster, OTA thoughts. I mean, I'm going to pick Johnny Mac's brain on the Bryce Huff stuff. We briefly touched on it yesterday, but the more I think about it, the more I'm wondering if that's something that we should be banking on going into the season. Now we're going to bank on it, but we'll see if it works out for him. We'll kick around that. And Sirianni, I have a question on Sirianni. Joe Santoliquido, our friend, wrote a great piece on Bleeding Green Nation about Sirianni getting the mojo back. I think that's a very important part of the 2024 Eagles season. So we'll talk about all that and more coming up next on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.